I wanted to just talk about the Troop Project a little bit. Hopefully in the next week or so, one of our leaders can come and share a little bit more detail, but the Lord has placed it on our hearts to be a support to those who are serving their nations, right? For our ladies who are running the Troop Project, that is Jasmine and Lisa, they will be focusing mainly on women in military as well as their, as well as the wives of military men. We understood Minister Ryan, he used to be in the Marines, and he explained to us that there really is not a lot of spiritual support for the women in military as well as their wives. And so we're going to focus mainly on that. But in on the general scale, they are doing donations to collect. They're collecting donations through popcorn sales and other things that have come forward so that they can send out care packages to these that are serving in other nations or just other places around the world, just to give them a sense that someone's thinking about them and someone's caring about them. And if you've ever served in the military, I haven't, but I've heard, these little care packages, they mean a lot. They mean a lot because when you're away from home, you're away from what you know, it can be very difficult to serve and be encouraged. And those things are a great way of encouraging. We're gonna do so many things over the next, as long as the Lord has us here, we have so many things planned, God willing, so many things planned that we think will help benefit our military as well as their wives, amen. But starting last night, the popcorn sale began, amen. The popcorn sale is 50% of all popcorn purchase will go back into the Troop Project's coffer for them to go out and do what they need to do for our military.
Yeah.
That began last night. It lasts for 3 days.
Amen.
There will be another launching, I think, right after, but this one will last for 3 days. We did receive a email last night due to COVID. There's a delay in shipment. So if you place an order, just know that the shipment is a little bit slower than original, but you won't miss it. They'll make sure to get it out. So go online. There should have been a link in our email out today. Go online. Choose a Troop Project. We'll send something else out tonight to remind you. If you love popcorn, this popcorn is delicious, has all types of different flavors. And remember, 50% of the proceeds go back into the ministry so that they can go ahead and launch out for ministering to those around the world. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
I'm going to step out of the way and bring Pastor Sandy out.
Oh, yeah?
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. Amen.
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 You're taking my picture.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
I'm excited about Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I'm telling you. Sometimes I think it's only me, but I'm excited.
No, it's not only
me. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
So we're gonna pray in.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to pray.
Yes.
I love this connection with the troops, with the troop wives, because you do. I just want to say this, because when you feel isolated, to get that little package, it's just like when we're at home and we order from Amazon and you get that little package, you get a little excited, right? Like, let's just keep it real. We get a little something in us. We get excited about that. So that for them to receive something special, something unexpected, just gets them a little giddy. And then they feel reconnected to all of us again. It's just another way to show love. So I hope you guys get excited about it.
Amen.
You go in there, you order your popcorn, and you be a part of this ministry any way possible, right? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I can't believe you used that example. Hallelujah. He's a shopaholic. Every time she gets a package, is that for me? The Amazon guy knows me by first name now.
No,
hey, Sandy, how's it going? I got another one for you.
Exactly. There's a house of four, y'all. That's all I'm saying. There's a house of four.
Well, he knows me well.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you, dear Jesus,
thank
for
you,
this
Lord.
Glorious day, dear Lord. I thank you for laughter, dear Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord, for all those that showed up today, dear Lord, ready to receive, dear Jesus, ready to sup with you on this morning, dear Lord. I thank you for the excitement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what that brings to each and every one of us, dear Lord. We are bubbling over, dear Lord, to see how you will show up again today, dear Lord. You already have showed yourself in Bible study this morning, dear Jesus, with an on-fire word, dear Lord, through prayer service, dear Lord. And now, dear Lord, during this service, dear Jesus, that we sup and have our dinner, dear Lord, our main course, dear Jesus, we thank you, Lord. And I pray that all of those came to hear and excited about your word, dear Lord, to deposit yet some more information, dear Jesus. I pray for Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, that he took that time, that I could feel his excitement, dear Jesus, that rolls over to us in the exact manner, dear Lord, that you gave it to him. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. Jackie, Charles, how you guys doing?
Great.
This is our last day till you look.
Well, we're coming Wednesday.
Wednesday? Okay, yeah. Good.
But I'll be watching.
Okay.
I always watch.
They're going to go back to Arkansas. They bought a beautiful home in Arkansas. Praise the Lord. Minister Amber's here. She don't want me to call her minister no more. But when the Lord tells me not to, I'll do it.
There you go.
Okay. So you guys see this board?
Yes.
That's been a few days old. That's just kind of showing Israel's calendar. And the Pentecost day of June 21st, 2021, which I'm looking forward to. Hoping that something huge is going to happen. And then I can be over with this calling and my job. Because this has been about 10 years longer than I thought. Well, maybe 3 years longer. 3 or 4 years longer than I thought. So, but we will see, and I'm excited about it. Last week I talked to you guys about that boat that was sinking. The Lord told me this week, it was like, you've got to tell them the boat's not sinking because it's not sinking because the boat is turning. The boat's sinking because there's water in it and it's about to go down, you know? And people are like, you know, well, the boat's leaning. Why is it leaning this way? Well, it's leaning because the boat's about to sink. And so all the things that you guys see in the world that's going on that we're almost getting insensitive to, it looks that way because the boat's sinking, okay? Don't think it's just things will go back to normal and then, you know, the boat is sinking, you guys. It's an absolute, I don't know how we watch so much of what's going on and not just like look up and say, God, what are you allowing these people to do? They're like, they have lost their minds, you know? But I am waiting for the rapture. It's my calling. That's why I'm here, to encourage you and to make sure that you are ready and prepared to go. Getting you ready is the main thing for getting you ready is really to teach you how to stay close to Jesus. Most important thing, I love the rapture, but I must say that my relationship with Jesus is not suffering because the rapture haven't happened.
Amen.
I love spending time with the Lord. I love when he shows me new things. I love when he does things for me that are shocking to me. I love all of being a Christian. Still does not matter to God. He's like, my plan is my plan. I haven't been wrong yet. Tell my people to stay ready. Pentecost is coming. In June, I did all the whole thing on how the calendar was fixed because the Lord asked me, show me Adar second, the second Adar in the Bible. And so I was like, well, you can't find second Adar in the Bible, right? But every year every 3 or 4 years, Israel adds a second Adar, which is just something that they do to keep their calendar on schedule. But
God knows how the calendar is supposed to go, and so God knows when his Pentecost. If they celebrate Pentecost a month early, God is not going to celebrate Pentecost a month early to be with them. You understand? It's like, because I don't think many of us understand is that the feast days never belonged to Israel. The feast days belong to God. And the Sabbath was in heaven before the Sabbath was in the earth. And all of these things are God's Passovers and God's feast days. So God is not, if they get off on their schedule because they're not being obedient to their calendar, does not mean God is going to be is going to say, well, I'll just have the Pentecost on the day they have it, because, you know, it's just crazy things. So I'm keeping to God's schedule. I thank God for the wisdom that he's given me to make sure that I stay on the heavenly calendar and not get caught up into trying to change the calendar to fit what the world's doing.
Amen.
I wanted to, let me talk to you about Micah chapter 7. Let me go there because I want to read it. And I'm not reading it because this is today's message. Micah chapter 7 is one of the examples of what the Lord is trying to tell each and every one of us today. I'm like, Lord, they don't believe that you're coming. He said, I don't care. They don't have to believe. They're not excited about it. That's okay. It's not going to stop it. So in Micah chapter 7, it says, what misery is mine? This is verse 1. I am like one who gathers the summer fruit after gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The godly have a vod from the land, or the kesed, or holy people, saints, whatever word you want to use for kesed, have a vod vanished from the land, and not one upright man remains. All lie in wait to shed blood. God said he just wanted me to read that portion to let you know that there is coming a day when the righteous disappear from this world, that there will be no more righteous people left on the earth, okay? The day is coming when the saints have to go. The church is not a continual forever thing. The church has a birth and the church has an exit. You understand? So since we are here only for the purpose of creating this bride for Christ, and since there is going to be a wedding, and since there is going to be a day that we're not going to be here, the Lord is preparing us to not be here when we're supposed to be, okay? Once righteous people have left, everybody who names Jesus should be gone. Everybody who says, I love Jesus, everybody who says, I gave my life to Jesus, should be gone when that day comes. And God don't care whether you are like into it or, you know, like I told you, the other guy said he had a dream that he got to heaven, was raptured, and half the people didn't even know what happened. That's the same way with me this week. He says, I don't care whether they know or don't know, the day is happening. You understand? So it's coming. Luke chapter 17, verse 34 says, I tell you the truth, two will be in the bed, one will be taken and the other one left. The Lord says that day is coming. You don't have to believe it or not. You know, it's like once I speak my word is happening. So Pentecost is coming. It's a wheat harvest. The day is coming. I don't care who's excited about it or who's not. He said all of heaven is excited about it. So it's going to happen anyway, whether you believe it or not. Okay. So, because I don't really want to sit and talk to people about mid-trib, post-trib, and all this stuff. I'd say I have no time to talk about that. All I'm saying is that this day is going to happen, And everybody who believes in Jesus should be gone when that day happens.
Amen.
And so my job is to make sure that you're gone, okay? And this is what the Lord wants me to tell you, okay? Now, this is really the message. Another story I have to tell you. There's two owners, right? They own this big, huge company. It's making millions of dollars every year. Millions. You have two owners. They've been friends for a long time. They bought into the company together, and they just solidified a new deal. So they called all their employees together, and they said, we're going to meet at the office, everybody. And they're like, well, it's Saturday. We don't want to meet. It's like, no, we're going to meet at the office on Saturday because we got to talk about this new deal before the meeting on Monday. So all the employees come to the job, and they all assemble in what in the lunchroom, which they have at the building. So they're all in the lunchroom, and one of the employees wants to make a cup of coffee, but he hits full pot instead of cup. So what do you think happened with the coffee thing? It spilled all over the floor. Now both the owners are in the room at that time talking to the employees about this meeting, and both of the owners are there. And one of the owners says, well, it's about 9 o'clock now, so go upstairs. He tells the other owner, you go upstairs and take the employees and start the meeting. I'll clean this up. He owns the company. He says, I'll clean this up. You take the other employees upstairs and start the meeting because this is important. So how many of you think they should make the person who made the spill clean it up? No, he told that employee, you go upstairs with them and get into the meeting. You understand? You go upstairs, get into the meeting. I'll clean this up. Wait a minute. You're the boss. You own your company. You don't have to clean up a coffee mess that another employee did. But this is what the scriptures calls humility. You understand?
Amen.
Position doesn't matter. Only thing that matters is servitude. You understand? And so this is why we're going to start today in Philippians chapter 2, because God wants you to see why some people are left behind and why some people are in the kingdom when the day comes. Because I'm afraid to tell you that there are some people that say, I believe in Jesus, that the rapture will happen, and the Christians will be in heaven, and tribulation will start, and somebody's gonna say, what happened with me? Why wasn't I taken? And the Lord told me in their heart they will already know, but in their arrogance, they'll ask the question anyway. Because you will know, because you will know that the Holy Spirit talked to you about that situation before it happened, okay? So what I'm going to explain to you is this incredible gift that God has given us. Now, let's begin reading here. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So do you guys understand the story that I just told you now?
Yes.
Considering the fact that he was in equality with God, that he knew that he was God in the flesh, he did not consider his position as being God something to be considered at this moment, because he had something to do, and that was what? To clean up a mess that someone else did. You understand? And so Jesus was here as a servant to clean up a mess, not considering the fact I'm God. Because if you start considering the fact your position, you'll think you're too high and minded to get the business taken care of. You understand?
Amen. Amen.
This is why when I go somewhere, I always try to make sure I'm a servant. Try to like, okay, I can help do this. I can help do that. Because people expect that the pastor is going to show up in a limo and, you know, and step out and they'll throw roses at his feet. And I'm like, you know, that's one of the ugliest scenes I've ever seen in my life, to see a pastor exalting himself as if he's above his own brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what I mean? So this is what Jesus did. I do it because it's the example that Jesus Christ set. Okay?
Amen.
You being the boss don't have to be known to everybody. You understand? So here it goes. It says, who being in the nature of God did not consider it equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, wait a minute, I want to stop before I say therefore, because God exalted him to a high place and gave him a name that is above every name. Therefore, why did God give him a name that's higher than every name and set him, his name, above every name? Why did he do it? Not just because he's the son. Not just because that's my first begotten son. He did it, the scripture says, because of his obedience. Because in the flesh, you can do what you want. In the flesh, when they spit on him and they called him names and they were doing all this, and then, or even when he was about to be arrested and they were going to take him, and Peter pulls out his sword and cuts the guy's ears off, Jesus says, what are you doing? Don't you know I could handle this? It's like I could call thousands upon thousands of angels to come and wipe this whole situation out. Don't you know that? So, why are you letting them do this then? Obedience. I'm here for a purpose. What's the purpose? I'm here to redeem. Here, I can't call down thousands of angels to destroy these people because I feel like they're being mean to me. I'm here for a purpose. When he's on the cross and they're saying things to him that are just horrible. Come down from the cross if you think he could have came down. I wish, I don't wish he would have come. Because I would be still jacked up, but wouldn't it have been wonderful? That would have been a scene to see. Wouldn't have helped us. But it would have been a scene to see, right? And so because of the obedience, because he was here for a purpose, he didn't run from the cross. People say he had a passion for the cross. He gripped the cross. Yeah. He hugged it. He embraced it. He called it my cross. This is for this reason I came. He embraced it out of obedience. And the biggest thing about Christ is, for me, that I love, is that he didn't have to go through it. He did it out of obedience. So obedience is a beautiful thing if you're doing it out of what? your own free will, okay? Making someone do something is not what God is into.
Right.
That's why you're in a relationship. You understand? This is not robotic. God doesn't make you do anything. The whole thing is about you giving your will over to God and not considering your position. What's your position? You have a very high position. Do you know that? You live in a temple, and the temple is your temple, and you're the high priest inside your temple. God gave you a position, and the high priest can do what he wants inside his temple. Why? Because he has his own will. But God has things that you have to do, that you must do to make sure that you are surviving and staying strong. And those are the things that God wants you to do. But you don't have to do anything.
That's right. That's right.
It is the great gift of God to all humanity.
Yes.
Is that you get to have your own free will. This is why the Lord said, no one will be in heaven that don't deserve to be in heaven, and no one will be in hell that don't deserve to be in hell. You know why? Everybody gets their own free will. You can do what you want whenever you want, okay? So it takes what the scripture said here. Now watch this. It says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So God has put his spirit in you to help you with what? The will. He wants you to have a will that is in line with his will. And if you have a will that is willing to what? Be humble and do what God says is right over what you think is right, you can have a great life.
That's right.
But you don't have to. And I want you to know that you don't have to. You will always have the ability to walk out of here and do anything you want, and God knows that. That's why the obedience is so important to God, because you're not doing it as a robot. You're doing, this is free will love. You understand? I do not, I would, if they sold robot wives, I wouldn't want one. You know what I mean? It just, it defeats the whole purpose.
Amen.
To have somebody in love with you is because the great thing about it is that it's their will. Mm-hmm. And that's the wonderful thing about this.
Amen.
Okay. If you humble yourself, it will lead to obedience. Someone said to me, well, we believe by faith, so therefore, if we believe by faith, we're granted righteousness, and therefore we're already saved by grace. Therefore, obedience has no dealing with us. Only thing we have to do is believe Jesus. And so when you begin to believe like that, toss away the complete history of the Bible, because there is absolutely no one in that Bible that didn't have to obey.
Amen.
And I'm talking about from Adam to Abraham to Moses. I mean, God was going to kill Moses one day. Moses was on his way back and hadn't circumcised his kid. And it was past the eighth day. And it said God was getting ready to kill him. And his wife took the son and circumcised him himself and said, you a blood covenant to Moses, because Moses was being disobedient. But the Bible says God was like, oh, get me another Moses. I'll jack you up right now. You better. You don't talk about you ain't going to do what I said do. Because that's, because the spirit of disobedience is witchcraft.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's saying that I'm right and God, you're wrong. Yep. It's saying what I want to do is more important than what you need done. Mm-hmm. And so the ability to humble yourself is the beautiful thing to God. What Jesus did was beautiful. You guys don't understand. It was absolutely beautiful to see someone doing something they don't have to do, but they're doing it out of love.
Yes.
That's a wonderful thing. Here, let's continue.
Good word, Pastor.
So in Genesis chapter 15, verses, it said, Abraham believed God and God accredited him righteousness. This is true. The word believed there is emunah, though. He not only believed, but also he became faithful to. Okay? So he believed God and he was also faithful to God. But listen what it says in Genesis 26, verse 4. And I will make the seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. What seed is he going to give all these countries to? Does he say seeds or seed? One seed. So he's talking about the seed that's coming, which is Jesus. God says, because of what you're doing, the seed that is coming, I'm going to give all the nations to him. Okay? Then it says, to all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So in Jesus, all nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Not in Abraham, in Jesus. You understand? The seed that he's going to have. Listen to this in verse 5, Genesis 25, verse 5. Because of that, because Abraham obeyed my voice, God says, and kept my charge, my commandments, my status, and my laws. So because of Abraham's obedience, God is going to bless all nations. Because of his obedience. And then what was he obedient to? He said, he was obedient to keep my charges, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Abraham was very obedient to God. He was not just saved by faith. And things didn't get done because he was saved by faith. He became obedient to God, okay? But what was he obedient to, and what did Abraham believe? What did Abraham believe? You guys remember God took Abraham out to the stars? He took him out to the stars. What's in the stars? If you're a student of the Bible, you know what's in the stars. The gospel. God is explaining to him the gospel. How do I know? Because when he's walking with his son, and his son says, where's the lamb? He says, God himself will appear as the lamb. He doesn't say God will provide a lamb. He says God in the Hebrew, Elohim Yiro'ah Lo. He will appear himself as the lamb. Where did Abraham learn that? From God. Because he took him out to the stars and he says, that's the constellation of the lamb. That's me appearing in the world, dying on the cross for the sins of man. Abraham believed God concerning what? The gospel. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to who? To Abraham. So Abraham believed the gospel. And since he believed the gospel, God accredited him what? Righteousness. And it says, all nations will be blessed through you. Because of what? His obedience. Did he have to be obedient? Was he born a robot? And this is what the Lord wants to say concerning the body of Christ. When you are obedient to God, when you keep your mouth shut when you want to talk, when that was your park and you was there first, but you don't want to fight over it, you want to show Jesus. When somebody pulls you over and they got something mad to say about you and you say, God loves you, God bless you, have a good day, instead of who you think you are, we can pull over right now. See, because you got to go back to being an example of Christ. You got to go back to saying, I believe what you wrote and I'm going to follow what you said. And that's going to get me through this life into blessings and into your kingdom. Because I'm not just going to believe, but I'm going to make your words my life.
Amen.
I always have to make sure. Well, I don't make sure. God gives me a word and I go, I'm going to speak it. And I don't know whether it's right or not, whether it's going to be for that day or for the people who are hearing it or not. But it ends up being that way. Listen, I want to read John chapter 14, verse 23 and 24. And it says this. It says, Jesus said unto him, if a man loves me, now listen to this, he will keep my words. If a man loves me, he what? He will keep my words. John chapter 14, verse 23 through 24. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come into him and make our abode with him. He that loves me, loves me and not keeps my sayings, and the words which he hears is not mine, but the Father, the words I speak are not mine, but the Father's. So the person that hears his words but doesn't keep them, because Jesus says what? If you love me, you will what? You will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's amazing to me that in Hebrew, Abraham, numerical value is 808, and the word faith in Greek is 808. Remember, I always tell you guys, check the numbers and you'll know the truth.
Yeah.
Abraham's numbers are the same. Now, I only said that to say this. Love has the same numerical value as will. Thelema in Greek is 93. Agape in Greece is love. So therefore, if you want to know what the significance of the other one is, it gets back to God's words. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love, then you'll give me your will. It's the only thing you own that is absolutely yours.
Wow.
Your body has to go back into the ground. Your soul belongs to God.
Right.
Your spirit, that's God's. Mm-hmm. Your will, it belongs to you. It's the only thing you can give God that God will say, this is a gift from you to me.
Wow.
It's the only thing.
Wow.
Is your will. When you say no to sin, that's you giving God a gift. When you react in the way Jesus wants you to react, you're giving God a gift. When you're in your word, instead of watching the latest stupidity on TV, you're giving God a gift. Why? Because you don't have to be in your word.
Right.
You don't have to read that Bible. When you come to church to hear the word of God, that's your will wanting to be in line with God's will, so you're giving God a gift. Every time you give your will to God, God is receiving a gift from you because none of that you have to do. And so this is what the Lord is saying. This is why people, the rapture happens and these people go who have done what? Submitted their will to God. How do I know you submit your will to me? Because I live according to your word. Because I was perfect and I wasn't sinning? No, because God has already made a place for people who are not perfect.
Right.
Okay, let's go to 1 John. First John 1, and I'll start at verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I do not claim to be without sin. I want you guys to know that. I was repenting the other day. Because you know why? Every time somebody asks me about football, I become greater in my mind than I was. And as soon as I finish talking, the Lord goes, I was there, right? So then I have to repent. Like, oh, that's a liar, Lord. Please forgive me in Jesus' name. When I put my $2 in that machine and it didn't give me any air.
$2?
$2 for air. I want to just put a little air in my tire. And that thing didn't work. I yanked that thing off of the... And I got in the car and said, now, is that how I want you to act? Is that Christian? So I asked for forgiveness. Because I can't act out of anger. You know what I mean? What if somebody look, saw me and called the police? You know, Pastor said he got arrested yesterday for destroying public property. Now you got me embarrassed because I'm calling you one of my people I've called. Now y'all in handcuffs. So I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, all right? I have mine, you have yours.
Right.
I'm going to leave my wife alone, but I've lived with her.
Please.
So I've seen a few, right? Okay, she got her own testimony. But I was there. And I want you to know, she had to do some repenting. So I'm just letting you know, perfection of Christianity is not the qualification for getting into heaven.
Hallelujah.
Perfection, it's like marriage is beautiful and you're already married, but if you are a perfect husband and you never do anything wrong and she's a perfect wife and she never says or does anything wrong, I doubt it. Somebody eventually is going to have to apologize to the other person.
Yep.
Okay? And when you apologize, are you getting remarried? Because someone said that to me. Well, if I have to keep repenting, that's like I'm getting born again over and over again. No, it's not. You're in a relationship. You're apologizing to continue the relationship.
Amen. Amen.
So here we go. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, to who? To our high priest. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar. And his word has no place in our lives. You hear that?
Amen.
My dear children, who's he talking to? His dear children, God's people. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. God says he doesn't want you sinning. God hates burnt offerings. You know that?
Yeah.
You know what a burnt offering is? It's a sacrifice that they had to give when they sinned. God says he hates burnt offerings. Did he accept them?
Yeah.
Yes. You know what the burnt offerings are now? When you go to God and you confess your sins, that's a burnt offering. Because all the sacrifices are on our lips now. God doesn't want to hear you say you're sorry all the time. He hates burnt offerings.
Right.
Okay? He would rather you not have to bring him a burnt offering, but if you do, he's made it available because he's a consuming fire and you can't be in his presence if you're not right.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So, it says, "Dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. If anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Okay? "We know that we have come to him if we obey his commands." How do we know that we love him?
We obey him.
Because we have given our will over to him and we obey his commands. You can. I did this before. "Lord, I know she's not saved, but I'm going to get her saved." God said, "That girl's not for you. She ain't saved. She don't know me. I'm going to get her saved."
Yeah.
I just told you. She don't know me, and I don't know her. She is not a born-again Christian. And my word says to you, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Right.
So what are you doing, Sandy? I'm gonna get her saved. Five years of divorce, prison time, jail time, and trouble. Not because I didn't consider myself a Christian, but because I didn't want to give my will over. I'll tell you what I said in the car. I said to God, "You can't tell me who to marry." I told God that.
Wow.
In the car, on the 91, they didn't have a 105 yet, on the 91, going too fast. I got pulled over too. They still just told me right there, like, you living in no disobedience. I just told you that girl's not for you.
Right.
I'm gonna get her saved. But God is telling you things to what? To benefit your life, because he wants you to submit your will for his benefit or for yours?
Mine.
For yours. I'm telling you what to do. If I say don't play in the street, it's not because I don't want you to have fun. It's because cars drive up and down there and you might not see it. And when it comes, it hits you. And then now your will to not be obedient to my will has cost you a bone or two.
Yep.
And so God is trying to get us to submit to his will, because he's a perfect God. He knows what's right and he knows what's wrong. He knows what's going to lead to blessings. He knows what's going to lead to cursing. Okay?
Yeah.
So if we listen to him and we do it, we can be blessed. If we don't listen, we can go our own way and pretend to be smarter than God. Amen. So this is what the Lord is telling me. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I'm studying this morning, and I was like, God, how is it? I don't know. Sometimes I ask God questions, and I think like I'm being arrogant, you know, because I'm thinking like, why didn't they study this and know this, right? Because somebody told me, when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, then the Lord can come back. But not until that last Christian gives his life to Jesus, and then God will be able to come back. But he's waiting on that last Christian and this is what God said. As you're studying the words, understand that I chose these words carefully. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says that the teacher chose the words carefully so that the person who's reading can gain wisdom and understanding of his plan. You understand? So then when he says things, your job is to look it up. Study to show thyself approved. Nobody say, there's no commandment that says read to show yourself approved. I've read things and didn't study them. I don't know what they are.
Right.
But if you study, you're like, okay, I got to see what he's talking about there. I got to see what that word actually means there, because I'm studying. I'm not just reading and glancing over words and then pretending like I know meant, right? Because if you say, I know what he meant, and you haven't studied, God said, you're going to fall short doing that.
Right.
You've got to study to show thyself approved. Okay? So here it is. In chapter 11 of Romans, and in verse 25, it says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brother, so that you may not Gentiles come in. Now, what does that sound like to you? Come into what? Huh? Come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ? That word, and I can't pronounce it properly, but I'll try my best in Greek, eskomechi, which means to travel, rather, it says rather person or animal, to travel, to leave, to enter into a house or enter into a city. So when the fullness of the Gentiles leave and enter into the city, then that's when Christ can come back and begin to deal with Israel. But until the Gentiles leave, the end cannot come. Why? Because the Gentile church has to get out of here. We're in the way. We're in the way, I keep telling you, of a real fight that is about to occur. And because someone say, "You well, it's been so long and I'm waiting on the rapture." People have been waiting on the rapture. They've been waiting on the rapture since Thessalonians.
Yep, that's true.
Receiving letters like it already happened.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And here, in the 73rd birthday of the nation of Israel, with only 7 years left and Pentecost coming, we still have people that are still thinking, well, maybe he changed his mind. Maybe Jesus is not going to have a wedding. Maybe I just better, you know, listen. I don't care what you want to do with your life. Be prepared to leave. Okay? Don't be the other five virgins. Be the wise five.
Yes. Amen.
Now listen. It says, Israel has experienced, let me leave, verse 25, okay, where was I? Oh, here it is. All right, it says, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles come in, eskomahi, travel, leave, and enter a city. And so all Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion and will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And who is Jacob?
Israel.
Israel needs a savior. They don't have a Messiah. They think they found one, but they don't have their Messiah. Their Messiah is coming, which is Jesus. Okay? But he can't come and rescue them until all the Gentiles Skomahi, until you get out of here, travel and enter another city, which is Zion.
Amen.
So the whole world is waiting for redemption. The big problem is the church is still here. They would love to do so many. They're doing some stupid things now, but man, if the church wasn't here, they could do some things. But because of the presence of the Holy Spirit that's in the world, you don't have to go get anything. But when the church leaves, I guarantee you, there will be nobody on the internet talking about I'm not doing nothing.
That's right.
You will do what they say do.
Yep.
But that day is not here. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is still in the world, and the Holy Spirit's job is to take the church out of here so we can enter another city. Until that time comes, you have something that is very valuable to God, that he expects you to do every day when you wake up, and that is to give him your will.
Yeah.
Your word says, when I get up to put on the full armor, I'm going to do that.
Yes.
I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my word. Someone sent me a scripture last week, and she said that the word meant neglect. Like if you neglect God, he will neglect you. And so you, I forget what the scripture is. I'll find it. But God doesn't want you to neglect him. You know, if you forget about God, he says God will forget about you. You understand? You don't want God to forget about you. You want to. So don't spend your days neglecting God.
Right.
Because if you neglect God, the scripture says he will neglect you. Yeah. It's like I was going to bless you, but I forgot. You know what I mean? Since you have no time for me. Okay.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So you incorporate God into your life, and while you're doing this, you're giving your will to God.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it's your will, okay? What you do with it is your decision. If you give it to God, it's a gift. It's right. The only thing that you can give him that has any worth.
Right.
You have nothing else that's worth anything to God. Mm. But you can give him your will. You give him some of your time, that's you willing to do that.
That's right.
You understand?
Amen.
Last scripture. Are we out of time, Pastor Ben? Okay. The Lord was just showing me this morning the seven churches and how since the beginning of time in the book of Revelation, he has had different churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira, all of these different churches. And all of the churches represent a timeline in history, okay? The Church of Philadelphia, Church of Pergamos was the reemergence of the Catholic Church, or the emergence of the Catholic Church, Church of Philadelphia. And then we get to our church, which is the Church of Laodicea, which is the church that is ran or ruled by the people, okay? Not by God anymore. So we got this church that don't allow God to be ruler, okay? So, and that's the church that Jesus is outside the door knocking, asking if there's anybody in there, praise dancing or whatever y'all doing. If you let me in, I'll come in and sup with you, and we can, you know, and we can fellowship, right? But it's a church that is doing stuff, but they're doing it outside with Jesus on the outside. You understand?
Amen.
It's the last church right before the rapture, because chapter 4 is come up here. You know, and then John goes up into the kingdom of God. But the Lord is like, you have to see the way I've written the Bible is consistent. I told you that the last Gentile has to leave. Ekomahi, the Eskomahi, which means he has to travel and leave. I'm telling you, the church, there's seven churches, and it says, Metatauta, after this, what? After the seven churches, come up here.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving. Get into heaven, there's seven candlesticks. The church. The church has to leave. And so my thing is to tell you not to miss it by having your own will and living in your own will.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, big fella, come over tonight. I miss you. I haven't seen you since high school. No, I'm following Jesus. Thank you for that gift, God says.
Amen.
That's a beautiful gift of obedience you just gave me. You didn't have to do that. Want to go to a party this weekend? No, I'm going to a Bible study. Thank you for that gift.
Amen.
That's your will wanting to be incorporated in my will, okay? You should go over there and let that guy have it for what he just did. No, I think I'll go tell him that Jesus loves him. Thank you for that gift. Don't live outside of God's will trying to live your will.
Mm-hmm.
What is Satanism? What is the motto of Satanism? Do as thy will. Jay-Z had the t-shirt on or the jacket on, right? Do as thy will. It's called the religion of Thelema. What is Thelema? Some people didn't even know. Thelema means will. Do as thy will. That's the whole thing that they tell them when they come in. Don't do what God says. Don't obey anybody. Do what you will. And that is the whole order of the law of Satanism, is do what you want to do.
Wow.
And so that's how Satan tries to raise our kids. And if you don't raise them, Satan will raise them for you.
Well,
Just turn on the TV and leave.
Amen.
So somebody's got to tell them that we need to be obedient to God. God has laws. God has rules. God has things that we need to follow. And he's given us those things so that he can keep us blessed. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.